الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of this beautiful series, The Blessed Seerah of Beloved Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where we discuss the biography of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And inshallah, before we move forward, let's listen to the virtues of reciting Durood and Salam. And our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated in his Mubarak Hadith that the one closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me in the world. Allahu Akbar. These are the virtues of reciting durood and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, in the previous episode, we have learned about the events that took place in the 8th year Hijri. Inshallah, in today's episode, we are going to learn about the events that transpired in the 9th year after Hijrah in the life of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what are those events that occurred in the year 9 after Hijrah, and why do we even learn about these events? Because this is the biography and the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is a means for our inspiration. We draw inspiration from the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he dealt with issues, how he overcame hardships. There is a great lesson for the Ummah, meaning us, the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to derive from those beautiful ways of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which he had resolved issues, he had solved problems. And our modern problems can be solved by taking into the examples of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah Azza wa Jal. So with this niyyah, let's inshallah inculcate the love for our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As the more we learn about our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the more we fall in love with our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah Azza wa Jal. So in the 9th year after Hijrah, many events occurred, and the most significant of that is extensively detailed by historians and their respective works. We will inshallah briefly mention some of those events, inshallah. Stay with us, dear viewers, inshallah Azza wa Jal, because this is the biography and the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The more we learn, the more it takes us closer to the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there was a time in the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after he conquered the city of Makkah, that in the month of Muharram, 9 AH, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had appointed certain companions and Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alaihim ajma'in to collect zakat and sadaqah from various tribes and areas. And it is mentioned in Tabaqat ibn Sa'd that the companions who were appointed, their names are Sayyidina Uyayna ibn Hisn radhiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Yazid ibn Hussein radhiyallahu ta'ala, and Sayyidina Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Rafi' ibn Makith radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Dahaq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Abdullah, Sayyidina al-Muhajir, Sayyidina Ziyad, Sayyidina Adi, Sayyidina Malik, Sayyidina Qais, Sayyidina al-A'la, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem. These were the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that were appointed. And where they were appointed? They were appointed over these tribes, Banu Tamim, Banu Aslam, Al-Ghifar, and Banu Sulaim, Juhayna, Banu Fazara, Banu Kilab, Banu Ka'b, Banu Dubiyan, San'a, Hadramaut, tribes of Tay, and the tribes of Banu Asad, Banu Hanzala, half of Banu Sa'd, the other half of Banu Sa'd, and Bahrain and Najran, These were the companions, alayhim ridwan, that were appointed over those tribes and areas in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, this was the system and the administration of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what do we know about the delegation of Banu Tamim? In Muharram 9 AH, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent Sayyidina Bishr radiallahu ta'ala to collect zakat and sadaqah from the tribe of Banu Khuza'a, only for him to be viciously attacked by certain individuals of the tribe of Banu Tamim. He somehow managed to escape with his life and return to Madinah Munawwara, where he informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam of what had transpired. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent Sayyidina Uyayna ibn Hisn radiallahu ta'ala together with 50 riders on horsebacks to punish the Banu Tamim. They successfully captured and brought back 11 soldiers of the Banu Tamim and also took 21 women and children as captives. After this incident, dear viewers, a delegation of notables from Banu Tamim came to Madinah Munawwara, including their supreme chief, Al-Aqra ibn Habis, and their orator and poet, Utarid ibn Hajib and Zibriqan ibn Badr. These were the names. They arrogantly walked to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blessed chamber, and shouted, "Muhammad, for what crime have you arrested our men, women and children?" At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking a midday nap, meaning qailula, in the chamber of Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu and other companions instructed the delegation not to cause a commotion outside the blessed house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, as to not shout they in the proximity of the chamber of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it was the masjid as well. However, they paid no heed and continued shouting, despite they were made aware that, you know, it was nearly the time of Zuhr and it is the masjid. And just now, when Zuhr time arrived, they'll be able to speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, they paid no heed and continued shouting. They had no regards for the respect of the masjid and for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emerged from his house and proceeded to Masjid an-Nabawi Sharif, the chief of Banu Tamim, Al-Aqra, he said, "Muhammad, grant us permission to speak, for we are those who, when we praise someone, he becomes adorned, and when we defame someone, he becomes tarnished." Meaning this was the harsh tone in which they addressed our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "You speak in vain. This is for Allah alone. Whoever he praises becomes adorned, and whoever he denounces becomes tarnished. Now tell me, what do you desire?" They replied, "We have brought our orator and poet to narrate our accomplishments, and you should narrate yours." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "I have not been sent for poetry, nor have I been instructed by Allah to boast over others. I am the messenger of Allah. Nonetheless, if this is what you desire, I am ready." Al-Aqra then gestured to his orator, Utarid, who arose and extolled the virtues of his ancestors. Sayyidina Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the orator of Ansar, was then instructed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to respond. He delivered such a charismatic speech that its sheer eloquence left Banu Tamim, included Utarid, awestruck. Thereafter, the poet Zibriqan ibn Badr stood up and recited an oath in response to which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sayyidina Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu to speak. The brilliance of Sayyidina Hassan's poetry left the Banu Tamim dumbfounded. Allahu Akbar. Upon hearing the excellence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the beauty of Islam, they embraced what they had initially come to oppose and entered the fold of Islam. Subhanallah. Upon their request, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam freed their captives and they returned to their tribe. And these verses that were revealed at the time. The translation of that: undoubtedly, most of those who call you from outside the chambers do not have sense, and had they been patient until you come out to them, it would have been better for them. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Subhanallah. These are the verses of Surah Al-Hujurat, verses 4 and 5. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, you might have heard the names of this personality, Hatim Tai, one of the most generous people of Arabia. Now, Hatim Tai's children were alive in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it so happened that in the year 9th AH, the 9th year after Hijrah, it was the month of Rabi Athani, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a battalion of 150 riders on horseback with Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala as its commander to the tribe of Tay in order to destroy their temple. The Muslim army destroyed the temple at Fulas and returned to Madina Munawara with some female captives and livestock. Amongst the captives was the daughter, her name was Safana, of the famous philanthropist Hatim Tai, and her brother, meaning the son of Hatim Tai, Adi ibn Hatim, a Christian at the time. He was a Christian at the time and had fled to Asham. When the daughter of Hatim Tai was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, "I am the daughter of Hatim Tai. My father has passed away and my brother Adi ibn Hatim has deserted me and fled to Sham. I am old and weak, so please have mercy on me. Allah shall have mercy on you." Dear viewers of Madni Channel, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted her freedom and also gifted her a camel for the journey. After embracing Islam, she proceeded to meet her brother Adi ibn Hatim and informed him of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's compassion, and also mentioned to him the noble treatment that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accorded her. Upon hearing this, Adi was greatly impressed by the lofty character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and without seeking any guarantees of protection, immediately returned with her to Madina Munawara. Subhanallah. This is how compassionate they would get once somebody came in contact with our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who received any fair share from the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saw a glimpse of his beautiful character. Subhanallah. Dear viewers, when Adi ibn Hatim arrived and people informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of his arrival, when Adi ibn Hatim presented himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he graciously took his hand and asked, "O Adi, from what did you flee? Did you run away from proclaiming the oneness of Allah? Tell me, is there anyone worthy of worship besides Allah?" Adi replied in the negative. Now, immediately he pronounced the kalima of Islam and embraced the religion of Islam. Subhanallah. This truly pleased our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam immensely, and it was manifest on his blessed face. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who was also a very honored companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the Khilafah, the caliphate of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, when many tribes withheld their zakah, and whilst many apostatized, whilst many turned to kufr, he remained firm on Islam despite this troublesome period, and continued to bring the tribe's zakat to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Ali ibn Hatim radiallahu ta'ala anhu also took part in the conquest of Iraq and other Islamic battles. He passed away at the age of 120 years in the year 68 after Hijrah. Dear viewers, there was another incident, a famous incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that transpired in the 9th year after Hijrah, is the Battle of Tabuk. Now, what is Battle of Tabuk? Tabuk is a place situated between Madina Munawwara and Syria at a distance of 14 manazil from Madina Munawwara. Some historians have said that Tabuk was the name of a fortress, whilst others have said that it was the name of a water fountain in the locality. While it could be possible, the Battle of Tabuk occurred during a period of severe drought and the hottest days of summer, when the heat reached its apex, resulting in the Muslim army enduring great hardships. The battle entailed a long enduring journey, physical exhaustion and transportation, heavy transportation coupled with unbearable heat and limited provisions, further compounding the struggle. For this reason, this expedition came to be known as Ghazwatul Usra, the Battle of Hardship, as well as the Ghazwa Fadiha, the battle that caused disgrace due to the Munafiqun, the hypocrites, being humiliated during this battle. It is agreed upon that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam set off for this battle on a Thursday during the month of Rajab in the year 9 after Hijrah. The Arab tribe Al-Ghassan ruled over Sham, as the Ghassanis were Christians. They were used by the Caesar of Byzantine to launch an offensive attack on Madina Munawwara to avenge the loss of Muta. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, olive oil merchants who arrived from Sham informed the Muslims that the Emperor of Byzantium was mobilizing large forces against them in Sham, consisting of not only the Byzantines, but also the Banu Lakhm, Juzam, Ghusan, and other Christian Arab tribes. News of this had already spread in the Arabian Peninsula, and the traders' testimony was further proof of it. The Byzantines' enmity against Islam was plainly evident. For this reason, the threat of an attack could not be taken lightly. Having learned of this development, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed for the mobilization of Muslim army. The region of Hijaz was experiencing a period of severe droughts, and in these hard times, Muslims now had to face this army. Allahu Akbar. But when the Christian army, when they are faced with the Muslim army, the lions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Muslims reached Tabuk, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the army to set up camp. There was no sign of Byzantine army anywhere, because news that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was marching onto Tabuk with 30,000 soldiers, it caused terror into their hearts, such that they did not even emerge from their houses. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed at Tabuk for a period of 20 days before returning to Madina Munawwara. There was no actual combat. In this expedition, Yuhanna ibn Rubah, the ruler of Ayla, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and entered into a peace agreement, consenting to pay the jizya, pay the tax. He also presented a white mule to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who in turn granted his blessed mantle and a written document guaranteeing that they may continue to use the sea in their vicinity for whatever benefit they sought. Allahu Akbar. This is how peace was formed between the two parties. Subhanallah. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prophet of peace and mercy. Similarly, the Christians of Jarba and Adruh, the two villages of Fasham, also presented themselves before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and agreed to pay the jizya, pay the tax. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then sent Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu ta'ala with 420 riders on horsebacks to Uqaydir ibn Abd al-Malik, the king of Dumatul Jandal, and instructed him, when you reach at night, you will find him hunting and do not kill him, but rather arrest him and bring him to me. Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he found Uqaydir and his brother Hassan hunting on a moon night, exactly as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had foretold. Subhanallah. This is the knowledge of the unseen of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uqaydir was captured, but Hassan was killed by Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala when he attacked the latter. Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, who agreed to release Uqaydir on the condition that he would present himself in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and agree to a truce. Uqaydir did so and was granted protection by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then set off for the return journey. When he reached the outskirts of Madinah Munawwara and saw Mount Uhud, he said, "This is a mountain which loves us and we too love it." Allahu Akbar. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told the companions that there are some people in Madinah Munawwara who were with you all the time. You did not travel any portion of the journey, nor cross any valley, except that they were with you because they were stopped from participating by genuine excuses. As he sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Madinah Munawwara, in fact, he was hinting at those Sahaba alayhim ridwan that had to stay behind in Madinah Munawwara, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in spirit, they were with them on the journey. Subhanallah. As our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the city of Madinah Munawwara, women, children, slaves, they all came out to welcome him, subhanAllah, reciting poetry in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and expressed their joy on the safe return of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this perilous journey. Thereafter, the people walked with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until he sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached Masjid an-Nabawi Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered 2 rakats of salah at Masjid an-Nabawi Sharif. Subhanallah. This is the character of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when he would return from somewhere, he would first perform salah and prostrate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. We should also adopt this habit. Dear viewers, there were many other events besides the events that we related to you that occurred in the year 9 after Hijrah. It is mentioned that the peace and security spread across the entire Arabian Peninsula. The verses outlining the obligation of zakah were also revealed in this year. Certain individuals were appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to collect it, meaning to collect the zakah. The order of jizya and taxes to be paid by non-Muslims living under the protection of Islamic State, this order was also revealed in the same year, subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 29. And he has stated, translation, that until they pay the required tax with their own hands, with humiliation. And it was also in this year, in the very same 9th year after Hijrah, that the prohibition of usury was revealed. And 1 year later, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam openly declared it unlawful in his sermons during the Hajj sermons, meaning the sermons of Hajjatul Wada, the farewell pilgrimage. Sayyidina Asama, the king of Habsha, and under whose protection the Muslim Muhajirun lived for some years, passed away in the 9th year after Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his funeral prayer in his absence in Madinah Munawwara, and also supplicated for his forgiveness. Subhanallah. Abdullah ibn Ubay, the chief of Munafiqun, the leader of hypocrites, he also died in this same year, 9th year after Hijrah, on the request of his son, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would sacrifice his life for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the son of this munafiq, But the son was, subhanAllah, a great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is mentioned on the request of his son, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and for his consolation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted his blessed cloak as a shroud for Abdullah ibn Ubay, and also rubbed his blessed saliva on it. Dear viewers, despite Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala requesting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to lead the janaza salah of Abdullah ibn Ubay, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did so because up until then its prohibition had not been legislated by revelation. Immediately after this, a verse of the Holy Quran was revealed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, "And never pray over any of their dead, and nor stand by his grave." No doubt, they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger and died while they were disobedient. Following the revelation of this ayah of the Holy Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never performed the funeral prayer of any other hypocrite, nor did he sallallahu alaihi wasallam even stand at any of their graves. Subhanallah. This was the noble character of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a glimpse into his lifestyle in the year 9th AH. Inshallah, dear viewers, please stay tuned with Madani channel, inshallah. And in the next episode, we are going to talk about the events pertaining to the 10th year after Hijrah, inshallah, azza wa jal. Until then, let's try to practice the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you need help, the help is there. Join one of our brothers from Dawat Islami, subhanallah. Visit one of our markaz, our centers of Dawat Islami. They are everywhere globally, worldwide, subhanallah, and are striving for the upliftment of the Ummah, subhanAllah. In this fragrant movement of Quran and Sunnah, this is what you learn. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. Madina, Madina. Inshallah, until then, stay good. And this is our mission of Dawat Islami, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, inshallah, azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam.
Oh Allah, increase our love to the Prophet.